I'm tired of you too. No, I'm just kidding. All right, I'd like you to turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. And let me just say a few words just before we get into our first story in the text of God's Word. You know, our nation right now, and this has been slowly but surely rising over the decades and the years in our lifetime, but really our world, and a lot of times we don't want to admit what's really happening, but our world is really at the point, our nation, our world is at the point of collapse. It's nearly at the point of just unbelievable, horrible things happening that are beyond our ability to comprehend them, all right? But this message I'm going to bring this morning about God's Word and our diligence. You know what? What's great about the Word of God is it just pushes away all these things that are going on around us, and it says, look, you know, God says, I'm on the throne. I'm aware of what's going on. I'm allowing what's going on, obviously, right? God's allowing things. He's allowing people to exercise their free will. If God wasn't allowing it, if every time somebody did something he didn't like, he took them out, well, people would be dropping like flies. It wouldn't take very long before, you know, most of the 8 billion people that are on this planet would be lying on the ground dead if God wanted to do things that way. But in his wisdom, God has got a goal. God's got a plan. Our world is headed in that direction. Right now, it looks insane and crazy, but God's using all these things. He's using the wrath of man to praise him. That's what the Bible says. He's using the wrath of man to praise him. The Bible says in Psalm 2, why do the nations gather tumultuously? Why do they gather in rebellion? Why do they do that? Well, it's because they're doing what they did at the Tower of Babel. They're doing what they've done across the centuries. They're rebelling against God. And they're saying, we will not have this man to rule over us. We don't want God. We don't want his ways. We don't want his heaven. We don't want his gift, and so forth. And so what I want you to do is I want you to think of everything that's going on, and we saw, you know, the riots and all those things and the burning down of buildings and everything all over our country, the things that are happening. And I want you to think of that in terms of this message today, because God just makes it so clear for us. What do we do? Well, we do what he tells us in his word, and I want us to focus on that. Let me start with the story, though, okay, before we read 2 Peter, beginning with verse 1 of the very first chapter. A man named A. Roger Merrill, he wrote a book many years ago called First Things First. First Things First. And in this book, he talked about this man, this business consultant. He made a lot of money. He had a real nice home and a real nice business. And he wanted to just have the most beautiful landscaping. He wanted to have everything just done perfectly. All right? And so he hired a woman who was a horticulturalist. She was an expert in these things. In fact, she had a PhD in it. Very knowledgeable. And, you know, as they got together and he began to lay out what he wanted her to do, he was telling her, hey, listen, I travel a lot. I'm often gone. I don't want things that I have to deal with. And he said, I want you to, you know, get automatic sprinklers, and I want all of the lighting and everything, and I don't really want to have to deal with this. I want it to just self-sustain. And you know what? That lady, she turned to him, and she said, as she was talking with him, and she said, there's one thing you need to deal with before we go any further. If there's no gardener, there's no garden. If there's no gardener, there's no garden. And I want you to think of that in terms of God's word, okay? You know, all of us want this amazing spiritual garden. We want to bring God glory. We want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. We want to bring people to him. We want to help those who are struggling, that are down and out and depressed and hurting. Of course, we all want to do that. We're followers of Jesus. Or you should want to do that if you don't. But nonetheless, I like what this lady said. She said, listen, you could want a beautiful garden all you want, but if there's no gardener, if there's not someone, either you or somebody you hire and you're paying them to do that, you're not going to have a pretty landscape around your house and your business. And you know what? This is the basic idea that the Apostle Peter is trying to get across to you and I this morning. And listen, of all the messages I brought on God's word, they're all important. But this one, in this matter of our own spirituality, our own bringing glory to God, this one is really important, all right? You know, God does give to every one of us who are saved everything we need to thrive. You know, we've been talking about this for weeks. It's in God's word, all things that pertain to life and godliness. However, he says in this passage today, you know what? I'm going to give you everything you need. There's the fertilizer. There's the weed killer. There's this. There's that. Here's the tools. Here's the shovel. Here's the rake. Here's the gloves you could wear. He's giving us all the things that we need in a spiritual sense. He's given us everything we need. But you know what? If we just look at those things sitting over there on the shelf, and we don't do anything with the tools, no gardener, no garden. No diligent believer, no spirituality. We're just going to continue spinning our wheels and not really impacting the kingdom of God. You know, somebody, I like this quote, somebody once said this, God provides shoes for our feet, but he doesn't tie our shoes for us. Right? You know, we're thankful for good shoes, but he doesn't tie our shoes for us. So with that in mind, I want us to read the first few verses, the first three verses, and then we're going to go through this passage during the message all the way down to verse 11. But we're going to start off with the first three verses, all right? So follow along with me. You can, if you have your phone, your iPad, or you can look at the screen, whatever you want to do, use your Bible that you have in your hand. But it says there in chapter 2, verse 1, this is the beginning of Peter's letter. He's writing a letter to God's people. He says, Simon Peter, a bondservant, a slave, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God, our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Question, is he writing to believers or is he writing to unbelievers? Okay, excellent. Already you're in tune here. He's writing to those who have obtained like precious faith with us apostles. We got the gift of God, which is eternal life through faith, and you've gotten the gift of God, which is eternal life through faith in Jesus. Okay? The righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. He says, God's people, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Okay? Hey, do you need grace from God? Do you need peace in your innermost being? Peter says, it's from God. God's the one that'll provide that to you. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Okay, now, in our New King James Bible, I think that is there, yeah, right there, that's a comma, which is unfortunate because whoever translated 2 Peter for us from the Greek, he decided to put a comma there, when really it probably should have been a period, because that stops the introduction to 2 Peter, and then he gets into what he wants to talk about. But the comma makes it sound like he's continuing to give them the introduction here, or I shouldn't say introduction, but the greeting and that kind of thing. But the greeting stops with verse 2. Now you get to verse 3, and verse 3 it says here, as Or we would say maybe today we could use as, or since is really a better word, okay? It's a new sentence. You got that? Since his, probably the Lord Jesus, it's got the Lord Jesus at the end of verse 2, since Jesus' divine power has given to us, all of us who are saved, all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to by glory and virtue. Now, let me pause there for a second, okay? Notice what I've underlined, okay? Do you see that there here on the screen, what I've underlined? His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, okay? I want to repeat this because it's so important. God has provided all the wisdom and insights in his word. He's provided them for us already, okay? It's just our job to be diligent and get in here, all right? Now, verse 4, he gets even more specific about what he's providing for us, all right? What is verse, oh, I'm sorry. Yes, verse 4, by which have been given to us, okay, this is talking about the glory and virtue of Jesus from verse 3. Because of Jesus' glory and his virtue, his character, have his glory and character, by that, have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. Notice that, exceedingly great. These just aren't promises. They're not just great promises. They're exceedingly great promises he makes in his word to us. Okay? Who needs a promise from God? I mean, hello? I mean, we all need some kind of promise for God today and throughout all of our days. All right? He gives to us these exceedingly great and precious promises that, notice what I've underlined here, through these, through the promises in his word, you may be partakers of what? What do you get to share in? What do you get to partake of? The divine nature. The divine nature. What does that mean? Christ likeness. God's nature. God's character. You can be partakers of God's character, having escaped the corruption. See, you got what happens when you become a new believer and you're a new child of God. Satan has really got a grip on you because you're bringing in the baggage from your old life. That just doesn't go away when you get saved. You know, Satan still has a stronghold. He's still got a foot in the door to some degree, okay? But now the Holy Spirit's living in you, and he's saying to you, child of mine, hear my word to you. I will more and more free you. I'll more and more free you from the grip of the enemy. You can escape the corruption that is in this present world that we live in. Not so much the physical world, but the world, I mean, obviously the physical world, but I think he's talking about, when he says world, the cosmos, he's talking about society at large that hates God. You can escape the corruption that's in society that's there because of lust, because of the wrong desires. That's what lust is. Lust is the wrong desires in any area, whether it's sex, whether it's, you know, you name it, money, control, all those things, okay? How do we escape this lust-driven corruption all around us? How do we become like Christ? And how do we become partakers of his divine nature? How do we become holy? How do we become Christ-like? How does that happen? Well, through God's word, through his exceedingly great and precious promises. Through these. You know, if you have your notes there or your Bible, circle that. Make a note of that. Highlight it. Through these. That's how this happens. Okay? It's not a miracle. It's not, okay. You can pray every day. Oh, dear Lord. Oh, dear Lord, I pray that you'll make me like Jesus. Oh, dear Lord, make me. And you know what? If you never crack scripture, if for instance, you're nonchalant about being in church regularly, if you're nonchalant about reading God's word, if you're nonchalant, you know, it's not that big of a deal. It's not going to happen. Okay? It's just like if somebody came and put on your driveway all the parts to build a brand new 2021 Lincoln Nautilus. I saw one of those yesterday. Beautiful. Probably cost $100,000. But anyway, they can put all those beautiful parts in your driveway and say, all you have to do, here it is. Here is the how-to. Number one, take this and connect it to this. If you say, well, hey, I'm just not going to do that, you know, and you're not diligent to put it together, well, you'll never have that car. It's all there. And you might say, well, hey, I don't know how to do it. But if they're giving you instructions, if you just take the time to do that, well, same thing about our Christian lives, about being like Jesus. It's not something that we could sit there and just, oh, Lord, please. Now, I don't mind anybody praying about that, man. I mean, hallelujah. But you have to have prayer and the word, diligent in both, okay? So here's where in your notes that you had passed out to you. Hopefully you all have one. Does anybody need a copy of the notes? Anybody need them? Okay, thanks. Okay, verse 3. In verse 3, we are told, since his divine power has given to us all things. That's a given. If you're a child of God, he's given you all the things you need to grow and become a person that who one day I'll stand before Jesus and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Since that's the case, that's God's part. God's done his part. Now, I want you to notice this. Verse 5, he says, since this has happened, verse 5, a commandment, add to your faith. Add to your faith. Yes. Here, you've had faith in Jesus for eternal life, my brothers and sisters. He calls them, he already said, we have like precious faith. Okay? He's called them brethren, brothers and sisters. Okay? He says to them, you have to do something. There's no garden without a gardener. Okay? That's our part. Add to your faith. Okay? Verse 5. For this very reason. What? Because he's given us all these things. Giving all diligence. Okay, listen. Who's talking here? Is this Pastor Bob talking or is this God talking right here? This is God talking. And he's saying, hey, listen, I'm laying it out for you, my brothers and sisters. I'm laying it out for you. I should say my children. My sons and daughters. That's what I was looking for. I'm laying it out for you. I've given you all these things. You need to add to your faith diligently. You can't just say, well, you know what? If it happens, it happens. No, no, no. You can't just say, well, I hope it'll happen. No. Listen, we got to take God at his word. You've got to add. That means every one of us. Now, look, you know what? Maybe I was a weirdo, okay? Maybe when I got saved, you know, I was all messed up when I got saved, and maybe when I got saved, you know, within 2 weeks, man, I said, Lord, I knelt down at a church altar and I said, after 2 weeks of going to church, I said, Lord, I am laying down my life for you. I'm going to follow you, Lord, with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And everybody, listen, I've had ups and downs, but for the last 42 years, you know what? I've had my pedal to the metal for the most part, and I've been saying, Lord, I want to glorify you. If God gives me 10 more days or 10 more years or 3 more decades, I have no idea. You know, I hope I'll be around for a long time. I don't know if I'll be here tomorrow. But what I'm saying is this. Man, I don't know about you, but I want to bring glory to God. I want to stand before him and hear him say, well done. And you know what? That'll never happen if Bobby V isn't giving all diligence in adding to his faith. Pastor, you don't need to do that. You already know the Bible well enough. You don't need to study the Bible. Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. Till the day I die, I need to open it up. Now, God's not wishy-washy about this. Notice, it's a command. It's a command. Add to your faith. He's not being wishy-washy. He's saying, you need to do this. Not only that, he says, you need to do this with all diligence. With all diligence, okay? So we are to diligently eagerly, attentively add to faith in Christ, the faith in Christ that's already saved us and given us eternal life. God is telling you and I that spirituality does not come automatically. Listen carefully. Spirituality does not come automatically, all right? It's a choice. We can either do what God says, or we can blow him off and say, hey, I'm not going to add to my faith. Now, the question is, what does he want us to add to our faith? Well, that's in verses 5 through 6. God says, giving all diligence, working hard at it, add to your faith. You say, Pastor Bob, I thought you said spirituality is by the Holy Spirit. Yes, it is. That's God's part. God's going to bring that spirituality apart. It's a miracle. You won't get it apart from him. But what's interesting is God says, by the way, you're going to have part in this miracle. You're my child, and I want you to have a part, and your part is to do the adding, and my part is to do the setting free from Satan's grip. Okay? Whatever is holding you down, whatever sin has its claws dug into you and you just can't seem to shake it, God can set you free. You can know the truth, and the truth will make you free. God will use his word to set you free. But listen, if you never open it, if you don't get diligent, you're not going to see a miracle. And by the way, I pray almost every day for my family, my church, my brothers and sisters around the world, that God would work a miracle of transformation and holiness. But you know what? I can pray till I'm blue in the face. And if God's people sit back and say, well, you know what? I'm going to let Pastor Bob do it. I'm going to let him win the people to Christ. I'm going to let him, you know, raise the money. I'm going to let him do all everything. You know what? It just doesn't work that way, everybody. All right? It's all of us. All right? So what do we do? Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance, meaning endurance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Now, let me just say this. These are not all the qualities that God wants you and I to have. But it's pretty obvious these are qualities that are very important to God, okay? These are qualities that are at the top of the list, okay? Like, Paul said, the greatest of these, faith, hope, love, the greatest of these is love, okay? All right, so love's going to be right up there. Love God, love your neighbor as yourself, love your enemies. Say what? Yeah, love your enemies. You get the idea. Now, I also want to say this. Earlier, Jana alluded to Ben Franklin, and Ben Franklin was this way. He would take all of those words in gold on the screen, all these wonderful qualities of Jesus, and he would put them on a list, and he would work on them. And he'd say, man, I'm going to be a person of virtue today. I'm going to give myself to virtue today. And he would go around and try. And you know what? That's really not the way that God is wanting us to do the Christian life. Yes, he says, I want you to add this and add this and add this and add this. But I think the reason he's saying add this to this and add this to this is not so much that, you know, you're going to add these things sequentially, you know, that you got to work on it diligently that way. I don't think that is what God is saying so much as he's saying this. You know what? All of these things need to be added, okay? I want you to understand this and this. So, but because I don't think he wants us to get legalistic, because when we get legalistic about minutiae in the Bible and we start focusing so much on this and say, and you're living the Christian life this way, I'm going to do this, 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 and, you know, cross my fingers, I'm going to, you know, that's not healthy. God's way is like this. But we all of us believers, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, into God's likeness, into the same likeness, little by little, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord is the one who does it. Our job, to be diligent, to be in His Word, to be diligent, to be adding the qualities that God wants us to add as we learn them. We practice them with the help of God. But again, the Christian life is truly a miracle of God. But He's also given us things that we need to do as well. But not in a way that gets off the rails, okay? So let's talk about these very quickly, because we got a lot to say this morning, and I'm probably going too slowly. I should be going quicker through all this. Okay, but let's go quickly here. Okay, so let's talk about virtue. I'm going to give you real quickly like a machine gun. We're not going to spend a lot of time because, for the most part, we understand all these, but number one, virtue, we today would say morality. If a person has virtue, they're not immoral, okay? They have morality. They have right and wrong, okay, in their lives. They do what's right and try to resist what's wrong. Okay, then there's knowledge. We must understand, we must understand exactly what God's saying to us. You know what? It's not like, it's one thing to read the Bible, and it's another thing to understand what you're reading. Okay? I mean, I can hand you a calculus book and you can start reading it and it says, okay, these differentials, you know, xy squared over xy cubed times, and we can read the mathematical equations. You can read it, but not understand what you're reading. And God says, you know what, I want you to learn my word and I want you to try to learn what it actually means. When I say exactly, I mean, I'm not saying that we're going to be like knowing every verse, every word. I'm saying that He wants us to be more precise than just saying, well, I don't really know what I just read. But, you know, we should be more and more trying to figure things out, looking things up, getting input. You know, send Pastor Bob an email. What does this mean? Or call a friend. Hey, what do you think about this? Call one of our elders. Okay? So that's knowledge. Okay? It's knowing stuff. It's understanding. Then self-control. You understand self-control. You're not out of control. You have disciplined moderation. Okay? You're not going crazy. Okay? Perseverance. You hang in there. It's like what all of the speakers, Governor Huckabee and Dr. Adrian Rogers and Dr. Tony Evans, what they're all saying about marriage. Hey, marriage is learning to love the other person and not expecting maybe to get loved in return like you want. I mean, you know, it's sometimes reciprocal, but it's not always reciprocal, you know, and that's hard. But you know what? It's God's way. It's God's way. You know, I mean, everybody, when you fall in love, is wonderful and is awesome, and that is. It's just like when you get saved, there's nothing like it. But then you got to go out and live your life for the next 50 years or 70 years or however long. And you know, it gets tough. Perseverance. God's people keep on keeping on keeping on keeping on. Okay, by the way, I'm resigning after this message. No, I'm just kidding. But okay, godliness. Okay, reverence toward God, the fear of God, okay? You say, Pastor Bob, what's the fear of God? It's just like when you were a child, you had fear for your parent when you did something wrong, okay? You're not looking at God like, well, you know, I love my dad. He's my heavenly father is my best friend. He's my best. And that's okay if you're saying it in the right mindset. But if you're saying that like, you know, he's my best friend, and he would never discipline me. He would never spank me, as it were, in life. He'd never cause problems to come into my life because he's my heavenly father. No, that's not. God wants us to fear him. Our God is a consuming fire. You know, there were people in the Bible, man, they sold property and they lied about it. Poof! Their bodies keeled over. And again, that was a special time. I understand that. It's a different time. It was a time of transition in history when the church was launching off the launch pad and there were miracles going on all over the place. But you know what? Even still, we shouldn't just go through life and not fear God, okay? So godliness, living with reverence and godly fear, the book of Hebrews says. The brotherly kindness, okay, this is simple. Love for those in the family of God. Love for the saved. Love for those in the family of God. And then agape love. You know, brotherly kindness is the Greek word Philadelphia. I love that song, Philadelphia Freedom. I wish it was true now in our world. We've lost like 3/4 of our freedoms in America. Anyway, brotherly kindness is Philadelphia. And then agape, the final love, is love for those outside the family of God. Though you could have agape love toward those inside. But the idea here, I think, is the brotherly kindness is toward one another inside the family of God. And then love is this, you know, love your enemies. Wow, that's really hard. You know, that's not easy. So, okay. So God wants us to be especially diligent about these qualities. We might fail to add a quality that's not listed here, but it's clear that these are very important to God, okay? You know, I don't think any of us are going to have every single quality that's in the Bible, like every single one, you know, by the time we die. You know, that would be really cool if we could, but I'm not so sure that that's possible, though maybe. But we could all, hey, listen, even in love, all of these qualities, virtue, godliness, you can improve in them. You can get better at each one, okay? So they're not static. They're definitely dynamic, okay? Okay, so now, here's what you've been waiting for, okay? We did the digging here. Now, what about our lives? What are the results? If you say, okay, Pastor Bob, I got you. God's commanding us to be diligent. I get that. I need to be diligent about this. What's in store for me if I'll do that? God tells us. Okay, number one. Let's go through these quickly. Number one, you will know Christ like never before. You will know Christ like never before. If these things are yours, notice that. If these things, these virtues, these character qualities that we just read about, the seven qualities, if they're yours, you possess them, and if they abound. Okay, notice that. Not only having them, but you're getting them more and more and more because you're progressing in sanctification all throughout your Christian life. You know, yes, when I got saved within a few weeks, I was already loving God. Man, I was going to church faithfully and all that. But guess what? 2 months after I got saved, a friend of mine, we went on a canoe trip. And since it was just he and I and the canoe and the beautiful sky on the Kankakee River, he turned and he said, hey, Bob, you know, I know that we're both saved, but, you know, I've had this hashish, he said, left over. And he said, I sure would hate to just throw it in the lake, you know, which was kind of like marijuana. He said, I'd sure hate to just get rid of this. And, you know, he said, you know, we're just out here and with God and so, see, we were immature Christians, and so he said, you know, what do you think we should do? And, of course, you know, dummy me, I said, well, you know, since it's just you and me and we're not going to hurt anybody by doing this, you know, we'll give glory to God, you know, by smoking this, and so we did. And you know what? Now, I haven't done that in 42 years, okay, but that was but you see, already I was selling out to God and doing these things, but you know what? I still had a way to go. To be virtuous and to be godly, and I've gotten better at it. Hallelujah. And I still have a long ways to go. Okay? So I want you to notice what I underlined here, abound. Okay? Okay? If these qualities are yours and abound, you will know Jesus in an amazing way. You'll be fruitful for him. You'll be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, your knowledge about Jesus is going to grow and grow and grow, and you'll bear fruit in that area beautifully. Hey, if you have an orange tree in your backyard, I know we're not in California, but if you have an orange tree in your backyard and you go out there, and summer after summer, it's just leaves, it's not cool. Man, you want, like, we've gone on walks in California, well, man, there's just hundreds of oranges on a tree. It's amazing. All right, I see our California IA people here smiling. All right, So that's number one. God wants us to know Christ like never before. If you're diligent, number two, you obtain protection from serious eye diseases. Notice that I put it in quotes, eye diseases, like selfishness, okay? Okay, yesterday I went and got my eyes checked, believe it or not, glory to God. I got a year older a week ago, and my eyesight improved since last year. So I have better long vision and better, you know, my nearsightedness went away a little bit, my farsightedness. I got one eye that, you know, it's weird. But anyway, you know what? I was really happy when I walked out of there. Well, there's eye diseases in Scripture. Notice verse 9, he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness. He's forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. What are these? Okay, short-sighted is the Greek word for where we get myopia from, where you're nearsighted. Okay, you could only see things, okay? You could, if you're nearsighted, oh, okay, of course I forget if nearsightedness. Nearsightedness is you see near lot far things. Is that correct if you're nearsighted? That's right. No, it's near things. Because in my notes, I have, you can't see those things that are afar off, okay? All right? So when you're nearsighted, the things that are farther away, they're fuzzy. Watch this. If you're a Christian and like you've got the rapture 1,000 years in the future, that's, you're nearsighted, okay? In other words, prophecy isn't impacting your life. The return of Jesus, okay? Listen, if you go a week, I should say, if you go a day and you're not thinking about the fact that Jesus may return, you know what? That's not good. You're nearsighted. You're not seeing the things that are afar off that you need to be able to see coming down the pike, okay? So that's not living, it's living for today and not living for eternity. The things that are, you know, oh, one day I'm going to be with God. And hey, it could be tomorrow. Okay? Listen, none of us are guaranteed that we're going to live a long, long life and all that. Okay, you get the idea. Okay, what about blind? Well, you know what blind is? A blind person can't see life as God sees it. Okay? He doesn't see life the way God sees it because he's blind. He's going around and he's not really sure about his footing. Okay, forgetful. It says you're short-sighted, you're blind. By the way, in the Greek, it's interesting. It says you're blind and you're nearsighted and you're forgetful. Okay, so if blind comes first in the Scriptures, maybe they put it second because they're thinking, well, first he was short-sighted and then he went blind. But it, interestingly, is since this is metaphorical, this isn't literally, like you can't have that in life, okay? Okay, normally your eyes go bad and then you go blind if you weren't born that way. But in Scripture, if you're using a metaphor, you could say, hey, listen, Charlie, you're blind, you're nearsighted, and you've forgotten. You can be all three simultaneously because they're metaphors, okay? So forgetful could mean like neglect. He disregards what God's done for him in cleansing him from his sins. You're forgetful of your old sins, forgotten that he's cleansed from his old sins. Okay? So you can be all three of those at once. Remember there in the gospel, Jesus said the man forgot that his master was returning. Okay? So same difference. Okay, number three, just two more. You obtain protection from apostasy. I know that's a fancy word, but I put it there in your notes. It means renouncing Christ. Okay, that's something that no Christian wants to do. Because not only will you be cruising for a bruising in this life, when you see Jesus, you'll be so ashamed at his coming that you turned away from him. And a lot of Christians, you know what? They get saved, they start growing, they do wonderfully like Jesus said, they bear some fruit, and then they become unfruitful, okay? And they get so unfruitful, they do it for so long. You remember the story I told you about Billy Graham's assistant that went preaching with him in the 50s? He eventually became an agnostic, and he got interviewed by Lee Strobel like 40 years after he became an agnostic. So here he is, he's preaching with Billy Graham, and now for 40 years he's been out of fellowship with God, the one who saved him, and he has tears running down his eyes, and he tells Lee Strobel, I miss him. I miss Jesus. Amazing. That can and does happen, and people sometimes die in the ditch of sin. They're truly God's children. Hey, look, it happens in life. You can have several children, and you could have three of them just on fire for God, and you could have two children that are just, they are just, what do you want to say? They just don't have anything to do with it. They got saved when they were 6 years old, 8 years old, but they're adults, and they don't care. They're like, forget it. I don't want anything to do with that. And you know, that's just so, so sad, and they're going to pay a great price. But you get a protection. Notice here real quickly, therefore, brethren. Now notice, is he talking to unsaved people or Christians? Brethren, there's Christians. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you'll never stumble. Okay, let me just say this. He's talking to Christians. He can't be saying, make your calling and election sure. Make sure you're saved. Now, wait a minute. He says brethren. He calls them people that had one in chapter 1, verse 1. We have like precious faith. You have the same faith us apostles have in Jesus. And it's eternal life. So he's not saying, make sure you're saved. Okay? These were people that had been given all things pertaining to life and godliness. What he's saying most likely is something like this. Christian people, make your calling and your election evident to others. Make it evident to others. Let your light so shine before men that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father that's in heaven. Make it evident to others. That's really an unfortunate translation there, but many take it that way. It says, if you do these things, if you're adding to your faith virtue, and you're even more diligent to make your Christianity evident to the people around you, you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus, and you're sharing Jesus with other people, and you're living it out before them. And if they ask you, hey, what's the deal with you? Oh, man, I know the Lord Jesus is my personal Savior. I'm saved. I'm on my way. You know, you get the idea, okay? You're not ashamed. Jesus says, I promise you, you'll never stumble. Now, obviously, look, that doesn't mean that you won't sin. You'll never sin. No, it means that you'll never apostatize. You'll never apostatize. You'll never renounce Jesus publicly. You will glorify him. You'll be a public professor of Jesus till the day you die. If you add diligently these qualities and give even more diligence to making it evident to others, you will never stumble into apostasy. That'll never happen, okay? Finally, what's the last thing here? You get the red carpet treatment. You get the red carpet treatment. The red carpet entrance into God's kingdom. An entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom. Now, this doesn't say, hey, listen, everybody, if you add all these things in your life and you're diligent and you give even more diligence to making your calling and election evident, listen, you'll make it. You'll get in. God will open the... No, he's not saying that. Look what he's saying. Look, everybody. Hey, do you want to be rich? Look, he's telling us, for so an entrance, this kind of entrance will be supplied to you abundantly. That's the word for richly, richly, the red carpet treatment, okay? This entrance will be supplied to you richly. This entrance, listen, you're going to get to go through the gates of the champions for Jesus, okay? You're going to go through and you're going to be lavished with rewards from God. Okay, so if you got the believers over here, I'll stay inside. Can I move over this way a little bit? Okay, you can move the camera. Oh, I'm getting out of the light though, okay. So anyway, if you're a Christian's over here and they're just not diligent for God, they're going to miss out on this. If you're over here and you're being diligent, it doesn't say you have to be perfect. It doesn't say that you have to, you know, be sinless, because nobody can be sinless. It's just saying diligence, growing, becoming more and more like Jesus. When you fall down, you get back up, okay? You're going to have a special entrance, okay? In fact, at the end of the epistle, Twice in chapter 1, diligent, diligent, diligent. You get to the end, same thing. End of the epistle at the end. Therefore, brethren, looking forward to these things, the return of Christ, the new heavens and the new earth, so on and so forth, be diligent to be found by him. Are you going to be found by him when you stand before the Lord Jesus? Are you going to be found in him, by him in peace? You're getting along with one another. You're getting along. You love one another without spot and blameless, that you're going to be a holy person. You're not going to look like a garment that's got spots all over it. Many years ago, the famous basketball player Larry Bird, he was asked why when I was a, he's the same age I am, I think, and I loved watching him in college. Oh, I just ate it up. But Larry Bird was asked why he was able to make so many famous, and there's, I got a picture of him shooting one of those last minute or last second shots that he buries a three-pointer and it wins the game. They're losing with 1 second left and he falls back like Dirk Nowitzki and he puts it right through only net. He did that over and over, and everybody just hated Larry Bird that were on the other teams because he just killed them so many times. But here's why, when he was asked why he could do that. I love this, and this is diligence. This is diligence. After practice, every day, I take 1,000 more practice shots than anybody else on my team. I deserve to take the game-winning shot, and it should go in. Okay. Why? He made the shots because he was diligent. If there's not a gardener, there's no garden. If there's not a guy that practices, there's no last second wins. Dirk Nowitzki did the same thing on the Mavericks. He and his side coach would work. He would practice free throws. He's one of the greatest free throw shooters. Okay. So, everybody, I want to just close this way. I know I've gone long today. We only have got one life. We've got one life, and we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus. He's not going to give us another life. We've only got this life to be diligent in. Okay, everybody? This is the only life. He's not going to let us. Larry Bird only had one career in basketball. He wasn't going to get another one. But he was diligent, and he won championships. He won MVPs. He got into the Hall of Fame. Why? Diligence. Got the championship trophy. So here's the question for us today. Will we be diligent for God so we can impact the lives of others and not only that, get that red carpet entrance into heaven? Hey, everyone who's saved is going to enter heaven. But whether you get the red carpet entrance depends on how diligent you're going to be in God's word and in doing his will and glorifying his name. Let's bow for prayer, everyone. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this day. And Lord, as we pray right now, I just pray that, Lord, you would have mercy on us for not being diligent, Lord. Lord, days come and days go, and weeks come and weeks go, and Lord, we are not diligent, Lord. So, Father, please give us grace to be diligent. Bless your people, Lord. Lord, I want all of them to have that red carpet entrance. I want all of them to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you for their patience, Lord. Thank you for that they bear long with me. But, Lord, this is so important. Lord, I put them in your good hands this week. Bless them, use them, and, Lord, open doors for all of us that we might share the message of life, the message of eternal life with other people. And Lord, we ask these things in the name that's above every name, the name of Jesus. And all of God's people said, thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful week. Don't forget next week, Baptism Sunday. If you need to be baptized, see me. And if you need, if you're going to join the church, I think I've talked to some of you already. We'll do that at the very end of the service, all right? Thank you so much, everyone.